Welcome, everybody, to Jewish Quest, which is a podcast produced by the Louis Jacobs Foundation and committed to Rabbi Jacobs's belief that the quest for Torah is itself Torah. My name is Simon Eder, and each week we explore a new parsha, exploring meanings, and in our quest, of course, for Torah. And this week we are honored to be joined by Professor John Collins, who is Holmes Professor of Old Testament Criticism and Interpretation at Yale University. Professor Collins received his PhD from Harvard and holds honorary degrees from University College in Dublin and the University of Zurich. Collins's recent books have included The Invention of Judaism, Torah, and Jewish Identity, From Deuteronomy to Paul, and that was a publication of the University of California in 2017, and also What Are Biblical Values, his most recent book from Yale in 2019. He also serves as general editor of the Anchor Yale Bible and Anchor Yale Bible Reference Library, amongst other accolades. And also, I should say, his British connection is, of course, he has received the Birkett Medal for Biblical Scholarship from the British Academy. Professor Collins, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
This week, we, of course, are very much into our journey through Leviticus. And we come, of course, to Kedoshim this week. And I know we want to explore really probably the most, standing on one leg, if I may, but the most important line of the Hebrew Bible, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And maybe such big words, maybe actually just to break them down quite simply, what in this phrase is really meant by love?
I think typically, because love can mean a whole range of things, depending on the context. But usually in the Bible, it's a matter of how you behave, how you act, rather than what you feel. I wouldn't want to exclude feeling altogether, but I think in this case, you can tell by the other commandments that are cited in close proximity to this. This is in a section of the book of Leviticus that we call the Holiness Code, and it seems to be an attempt to update the ritual provisions of Leviticus by highlighting ethical concerns as well. And it tends to hop back and forth between ritual requirements and ethical requirements. And the kinds of things that they mention are, do not defraud your neighbor. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not go around as a slanderer. So it's that kind of thing. Equally famously in the book of Deuteronomy, we're told to love the Lord your God. And one of the great discoveries of the last century was that this seemed to be modeled on an Assyrian treaty where the Assyrian king told his subject, you shall love me. Now, I'm sure that wasn't a matter of feeling warm and fuzzy about him. What he meant by that is, you shall be loyal to me, you shall not cross me, you shall do what I tell you to do. And that's more or less what it means in Deuteronomy 2, and I would figure it's much the same that it means here in Leviticus. It's really a matter of behaving decently to people.
Just interestingly, on that historical context and the similarity with the Assyrian text that you reference, do you see perhaps a similar origin in this instance in terms of the modelling?
I don't, actually. At least I'm not aware of it, if there is. I think this is just practical advice. And I know we may get around to talking about this a little bit later, but you get something like this in pretty much every great religion in the world. And even you get statements somewhat like it as early as the third millennium BC in ancient Egypt. And you certainly get them in Greece. Some of the pre-Socratic philosophers had things like this. And so I think this is just a fundamental of ethical thinking.
And this is the Hebrew Bible's presentation of it. Maybe having explored love in that way, and as you say, the importance of the commitment to action that it entails, what is really meant in this instance by neighbor? And maybe as a follow-on from that, of course, loving the stranger is of course also referenced. How do we differ between neighbor and stranger?
I think in the context in Leviticus, the neighbor is really your fellow Israelite. And that, again, you get from the context. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall reprove your kinsman and not incur guilt because of him. You shall not bear a grudge against any of your people. Now, the word that's used, it's the Hebrew word rea, and it can mean a friend. It can mean companion. So, and it doesn't have to mean an Israelite. But I think the concern here is really that you love the people you're actually coming in contact with. This is not a kind of general, universalizing ethical maxim. It's practical advice for how you get through the day with the people you're actually dealing with. And so I think that's the point with the neighbor. In a way, almost like the English word neighbor, it's the person who is near you. Now, but it's very interesting then that you have the parallel one that says you shall love the resident alien. Now, again, mind you, it doesn't mean you shall love the people of Outer Mongolia. It's the people, the resident alien means the people who have come to live in your country. Very topical issue nowadays, actually. But there were such people in the ancient world. And they make the analogy with when the Israelites were in Egypt, where they were out of their country. So they were foreigners in that sense. But at the same time, they were long-term foreigners. So those are the primary targets in view. Now, I think that this will in time be expanded, but it's still very much an important principle.
You mean in later rabbinic texts or?
In the later rabbinic texts also, not just rabbinic. I think you will get this expanded when the Bible is translated into Greek. You will get it in texts like the Book of Jubilees. There's a huge Jewish literature between the Bible and the Mishnah. And it's one, I think, that doesn't get enough attention among congregations. It gets plenty of attention from scholars nowadays, but
of course, listen. Let's maybe dwell on some of that a little bit. How I'm really interested and grateful for your sharing how this important practical advice gets expanded upon in those books.
I don't think they thought they were expanding it. I think it's probably just how they understood it. Now, some of this comes from, I guess, another thing that we need to talk about if we're working through the phrases, is it's your neighbor, who we, Asher Kamoka, which we usually translate as yourself. But you could, and some people have translated it as who is like you. And this, I think, is actually the most interesting issue I came across when I was working on this passage, because I hadn't really considered that alternative interpretation. It was one that was argued most famously probably by Martin Buber. It's your neighbor who is like you. Now, this makes sense also, I think, for the resident alien, because they say you should love the alien as yourself, because you were aliens in the land of Egypt. Therefore, your alien, the alien, is like you. Now, the alien, by definition, is not an Israelite. But nonetheless, he is like you. And at first, I was inclined to take it that shows then that you should translate, you should love your neighbor as yourself, that it's a matter of how you love. But the more I think about it, actually, it may be making the point that your neighbor, the alien, actually is like you. And that's really quite an important point. Now, you can then, of course, extend that and say all human beings are like you. And that, I think, is maybe the most fundamental insight that you get out of this passage. It's your fellow human being.
Thank you. And you, of course, expanded upon the like yourself or one who is like you. Obviously, this whole line emerges into what has become known as the Golden Rule. How does that emerge? What's the development for that to come to be?
The first point I would make there is this, that if by the Golden Rule, which I believe is an expression that was coined by an Anglican clergyman back about 1600, that if by that you mean you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, as I was mentioning a little earlier, you get some form of that. You get some form of it in ancient Egypt. You get it certainly among the pre-Socratic philosophers. You get it in India. And it is not at all surprising that you would get it here. Now, why do you not get it quite that way in Leviticus? Leviticus, I think, is still very much focused on the Jewish community. And I'm assuming that this was written probably in the early post-exilic period when they were consolidating a community in Judah and they were very much concerned with the coherence of that community. Equally, I would say that in early Christianity, in the Gospel of John, there's a lot about loving your brother. And I think in most cases there, they mean your fellow Christian, first of all. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't love other people, but it's your immediate fellow that they're mostly interested in. Now, I think maybe in some of the later Jewish texts then, that focus on the community and on the community building may not be quite as strong. It is as strong, I think, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the Dead Sea Scrolls generally don't refer to this text. But in the Septuagint, the Greek translation, these were Jews who were living in Egypt. They were people who were trying to get along with people from other traditions and other religions. And I think they probably weren't quite as concerned with defining their own community over against the neighbors. So I think that might be a reason why you get that kind of emphasis there.
And then I'm interested in your take on how in the Talmud, Hillel's phrase, which is really the inversion of this, or the sort of the negative, that which you don't want to be done as opposed to yourself, as opposed to loving your neighbor. How do you see it? What's the reference? What's the parallel between these? And why do you see that inverse happening from Hillel?
In the story in the Talmud, it's a man who wants to be converted, or who is thinking about being converted. And he goes first, I think it is, to Shammai. And Shammai says, no, be gone with yourself. And then he goes to Hillel. And Hillel says, sure, just stand on one foot and I'll give it to you. So Hillel is the more humane of the two rabbis. Now, why? It's the most basic reason we have for ethical behavior. Other than divine command, if you believe in divine command. And I think where you get the emphasis on something like the Golden Rule is where you have what is to some degree an ecumenical situation, where you have people from different traditions talking to each other, where it isn't enough to say to them, this is commanded, because they may say to you, by whom? My God doesn't command that. And if you're looking for something that should appeal in principle to everybody, then the thing that appeals most to everybody is self-interest. So it's the implication also is, if you want people to be nice to you, you'd better be nice to them. I don't know if you're familiar with the figure of Yogi Berra, who was a famous character in baseball, but he also had many wise sayings, one of which was, you should always go to other people's funerals, because otherwise they won't come to yours.
Brilliant. fabulous comment on modern commentary on Leviticus. Maybe finally, if I may, when speaking to a lot of Christian friends, they'll always see that they will often refer to this line as seemingly deriving more from the New Testament. And of course, forgetting perhaps the origin in Leviticus. And I really wonder what is the development that the Gospels have with this all-important phrase.
Now, interestingly enough, of course, there is endless debate as to what Jesus meant by just about anything he said. And there's a great Catholic scholar named John Meyer, who just died a year or two ago, who had a series of books called A Marginal Jew. And he thought that there is no reason to think that Jesus understood this any differently from the way it was understood in Leviticus. Now, I don't think many people would actually agree with that, but it's partly because they don't want to agree with it. They like the idea that Jesus was being universal. Now, in itself, though, the way it's put in Jesus is this: you're summing up the commandments. It's essentially the same thing that Hillel was doing. In the Gospel of Luke, though, this is it doesn't really address it directly, but he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and which of these was neighbor to the man who fell among thieves. And it's the Samaritan who is the good neighbor. Now, the Samaritan, of course, wasn't a Jew, although, again, he was fairly close and, in fact, probably thought of himself as an Israelite. But that is at least some expansion of it. Now, the big expansion that you get, though, in the Gospels is the idea that you should love your enemy. And that one is just counterintuitive. And you don't get it much anywhere, and you don't get it very often in the New Testament. It's not one of the things that they pick up that really actually became the practice of Christianity. So I think that was probably the trademark of Jesus. And I think that also shows that Jesus meant by the neighbor more or less everybody. If it includes the enemy, after all, who would it not include?
There was a line, I think, by the late philanthropist and I believe one of the founders of the Council for Christians and Jews, Sir Sidmund Sternberg, who said that you should love your stranger until they become your neighbor.
Now, did he mean that you should stop then? Or just love them to the point of making them into your neighbor?
I think the latter, but...
Yes, I think so, probably.
With that and Yogi Berra's wonderful line, I think very appropriate for the world today, for sure, yeah. which needs more than ever, for sure.
Indeed.
Professor Collins, thank you so much for joining us today and exploring this with us with all your wonderful scholarship and anecdotes as well. So truly thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you everyone for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast too, do please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find out more information about all of our work on our sites, louisjacobs.org and also jewishquest.org. Do tune in again next week as we continue our journey through Leviticus.